move on from there, we come to one of the major sections to be completed on a P11D, and one, of course, of the most common benefits. Section F, company cars and company car fuel benefit. Here again, we have a working sheet number 2. And we have some quite detailed guidance in the booklet 480 in chapters 11, 12, 13 and 15, and also Appendix 1. Chapter 11 relates to company cars and to company vans from the 6th of April 2005 when the rules changed. The definition of a car is any mechanically propelled road vehicle except a goods vehicle, and that has to be a vehicle of a construction primarily suited for the conveyance of goods. So, for example, a lorry wouldn't be a company car. Estate cars and off-road recreational vehicles will count as cars. Surprisingly, it may seem, but a minibus would count as a car, not a van. Company car doesn't include a motorcycle or an invalid carriage or a vehicle of a type not commonly used as a private vehicle. So a company car couldn't be a Grand Prix Formula One car. As I've said, PLMD Working Sheet 2 is available to help you calculate the car and fuel benefit. It's interesting to note, if you look at the PLMD, it has only room for reporting 2 company cars, and therefore we'll have to use a separate sheet if there's been a number of cars provided during the year. Employers have to provide details of the cars made available for private use, as well as providing the total car benefit charge. And the car benefit charge is incurred wherever a car is made available for private use. So it's based on availability, not just private usage. Made available without the transfer of the car to the employee, or to a member of the employee's family or household if the car is provided to them by reason of the employment. Where a car is made available for the private use of an employee or a member of the family, it's deemed to be made available by reason of the employment. In other words, it's deemed to go with the job. The one statutory exception to this is where the employer is an individual and it can be shown that the car was provided in the course of ordinary domestic relationships. But HMRC would look to see if the car had been treated as a business asset, and if it had, they'd be looking to tax the benefit of the car. So, calculating the car benefit charge. It's calculated in a series of steps. First of all, we have to find the list price of the car. And then we have to look at the price of any accessories which fall to be taken into account. Accessories provided when the car is first registered would all count. After the car has been registered, if there are accessories added to the car, say for example a tow bar fitted costing £95 after the car had been supplied, the cost of that tow bar wouldn't be counted because it's less than £100. If an expensive tow bar was fitted and it cost, say, £150, it would be counted unless the tow bar was only provided for business use, say for towing a trailer. We have to make adjustments to the price of the car if there's any capital contributions made by an employee, and there is a limit of £5,000 per annum for capital contributions. The next thing we have to do is find the appropriate percentage for the car using the CO2 chart. So we have the list price, let's say £20,000, CO2 percentage, which can vary between 15% and 35% at the maximum. And then we have some reductions for special fuel cars. For 2008-09, for the first time, we have what's known as the QALEC cars, the qualifying low emission cars. And if you have one of those cars, they have to have CO2s of 120 grams per kilometre or less. You cannot round down, so if it was 124, you would not round down to 120. But if it is 120 or less, the car will be 10% instead of 15%. And if it's a diesel car, it will be 13% instead of 18%. I've mentioned the list price. Well, the price of a car does mean the list price. And if it has one, it is the published list price, inclusive of costs such as accessories, as I mentioned, any relevant taxes, VAT, car tax or customs duties. It excludes the £25 new car registration fee, and it wouldn't include the cost of any petrol in the car when it's first delivered to the employee. If we look at the table in the 480 booklet, we will see where there are reductions in the standard charge for the car. So we have cars such as the hybrid electric car, which is a H car, where there's a reduction of 3%, or we have a bi-fuel car with CO2 emissions, where there's a reduction in the 2%. What you really need to do is to refer to that table when you have the details of the car to see whether there are any reductions from the standard cars. One thing to be careful of for 2008-09 is, do you have any diesel cars which qualify as Euro 4? There used to be a waiver of the 3% supplement for diesel Euro 4 cars, but that doesn't apply except for a car that was registered before the 1st of January 2006. So be a bit careful about that when you're completing the P11Ds this year. One thing to consider is whether there's been any amounts paid by the employee in the year for the private use of the car. If there has, this will reduce the car benefit on a pound-for-pound basis. If an employee was paying £25 a month towards the private use of the vehicle, that would be £300, which would be a reduction in the calculated car benefit for that car. The cash equivalent of each car has to be reported in box 9 of the 2008-09 P11D. Again, an important check when you're doing P11Ds is to make sure that you've got all of the cars and that no cars have been omitted. If you're not sure about the CO2 emissions, there are a couple of websites that you can refer to. The Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders website will give you details of older cars. The government website for the Vehicle Certification Agency will give you details of new cars. Once you know the CO2 figure, you can refer to the CO2 table again in the booklet 480. It starts at 135 grams per kilometre, which is the 15% band for 2008-09, and it goes up to any cars with CO2s of 240 grams per kilometre or above, which is 35%. Any diesel car would be 3% more, but not exceeding 35%. Next, I want to look at the provision of private fuel, because this is quite an emotive issue. The cash equivalent of fuel for each car fuel benefit charge has to be reported on the P11D in box 10, and a car fuel benefit charge will apply unless fuel or any mileage allowance was provided solely for business travel, or if, say, an employee was provided with a fuel card or a company credit card and all fuels purchased on that, it is essential that they can prove that they've repaid any private fuel that they've had. Making good can be by a payment to cover the cost of any private fuel, and the revenue also, say, by replacing the fuel used for private motoring. But it is a fact that HMRC will want evidence that all of the fuel has been repaid. A point I put to delegates at the CPD courses all the time is to check the adequacy of the business mileage records. The next section on the P11D is section G, which is company vans. And again, we have a working sheet number 3, which can help. Employers are required to report the cash equivalent of all vans made available for unrestricted private use. And this goes at box 9 on the P11D for the van benefit and at box 10 for the fuel benefit. A van is defined as a mechanically propelled road vehicle which is of a construction primarily suited for the conveyance of goods or burden of any description. And the key point is the design weight does not exceed 3,500 kilograms or 3.5 metric tons. The working sheet tells us that if the van is used mainly for business travel and the only other use is for ordinary commuting, there is no benefit charge. And that's been the case since 2005-06. If that is the case, we would not need to report the benefit on the P11D. The guidance says that other private use can be ignored if it is insignificant. And the only examples they give us is that an employee takes an old mattress or other rubbish to the tip once or twice a year, so we can ignore that. An employee makes a slight detour when on a business journey or on a commuting journey to stop at a newsagent on the way to work, say, or an employee calls at the dentist on the way home. So those are very limited situations where other private use could be ignored. What will not be accepted as insignificant is where an employee uses the van to do the shopping or uses the van to go on holiday, or an employee uses the van outside of work for social activity, so to go to the races or to go to the football or the cricket or what have you. One point I would make in this podcast about vans, because it's frequently a question that's put to me by AAT delegates, is that if an employee is allowed to use the van for a week or 2 weeks to go on holiday, HMRC will not accept that if they pay a rental charge for that van for 1 week or 2 weeks, that the van can be ignored as a benefit in kind provision. They would simply say there's a benefit of £3,000 because the private use is not restricted. And if the employee is paid £100 a week for the private use during the holidays, the £200, £100 or £200 would be deducted from the £3,000 charge. So be careful. The standard charge applies only to vans that are less than 3.5 tons. And the full charge will apply if the van is used as a benefit throughout the year. The benefit can be apportioned if the employee only had the van for part of the year. It can be shared between more than one employee if there's dual use of it. Again, the PL70 worksheet will help you do that.